Moisai. Lessons from the lathe. Parshas.
Vayeshev.
This parsha, of course, I have to speak about the holiday of Chanukah, even though it is but one shopping week away. Everybody talks about it on the parsha. It's very important because I think the parsha very, very, very much signifies the concept of Golos and really what we should be thinking about during this time of the year. Okay, so last week you had a wonderful kavod, which I unfortunately missed, regrettably, and that was Rav David. Just a week ago came here. Rav David's a wonderful person, Rosh Hashiva, and he spoke so beautifully. Baruch Hashem was able to watch the video, and he spoke a lot about my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and his Rebbe also, his Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and his main Rebbe, the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov. So I thought it would be cute if I was to quote both of those great Torah personalities, the brothers, and because here in the parasha, brothers don't really get it wrong so well. But this is actually a sefer that Rabbi David wrote called Darash Yosef, because his name was Yosef. So this is our parasha of Yosef. And I think it's a very, very important, and I think the addition of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I think Rabbi David would be very fond of. I had this chus last week when I was at a wedding. Rabbi David was there. I introduced myself. And I said, you spoke about my Rebbe, and he was so as if I was like, we were the same age. And he's like, tell me more about Rav Aaron. Tell me all these stories. He called his wife over. He says, oh, he's a Talmud of Rav Aaron. And I was telling stories over, and he was telling me stories. Ah, it was beautiful. And it's a very important thing to kvel over, to read stories of Gedolim over Shabbos when we're in Sfas. Maybe I'll mention something over there. So Rav Greenberg, the Rosh Hashiva, the former Rosh Hashiva of KBY was there. So he saw me learning. I was learning one of the Masorah journals. My father actually has many, many of them. But my son got into Rav Soloveitchik. Not surprisingly, Yerucham is an offshoot of Gush, from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, many of the Talmidim. And he said, how come you chose us? I said, it has all these great pieces from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik. I said, it's beautiful. So, in our parsha, Rabbi David wonders, based on, of course, his Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, what the relationship is with the Haftorah. And the Haftorah for this week's parsha comes from Amos. And we know that the origination, we were actually joking over Shabbos, the usual American joke, when the Haftorah started, people were like, no, is there a Kiddush Club? So some of the Israelis were like, Slicha, what's a Kiddush Club? I'm like, holy cow, you don't know? And we say to them, there are some shuls in America, and they go outside during the Haftorah. He says, what? They thought we were kidding. I'm like, no, they have herring and kugel and Kiddush, it's like a thing. I'm like, what? So then I think this guy was like, there's two guys, they didn't know what I was talking about. I probably shouldn't have been talking there in Haftorah. So I'm like, okay, look, can we at least go outside and daven Musaf now? You know, they thought it was like, I'm not sure. It's good, fine. Anyway, so we know that the connection of the Haftorah is supposed to be to the parasha itself. In fact, there was a time where they weren't able to lay the Torah. So that's part of the joke of saying, okay, we lay the Torah now, so why do we have to have both makos, of a long parasha, and so we do both. And we're supposed to relate this to each other. And there are svarim that have been written about the connections of the two, but let's try to understand the connection. It is quite interesting. So Amos in our Haftorah comes onto the scene. Kor Mar Hashem, al shloish pshei Yisrael, v'al arba, lo ashiven. The three cardinal sins you did. Bad enough. The Jews of the time. You're terrible. Shichlus, Dabik, Glila, Raias, right? You're doing them all, but there's one I can't forgive you for. And that is Al Mechiram Kes Bekesef, Tzadik Bi Evren Bor Na'alayim. It says that you sell out the great people for silver, the poor people with a pair of shoes. What's a pair of shoes? What's going on over here? A pair of shoes. So we'll remember that in our parsha, there was a pair of shoes that was sold. So let's delve into this. According to one of the interpretations of the Midrash, the brothers sells Yosef, not for nothing, they're Jewish, they got to sell him for something, for a pair of shoes, Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, the Targum Yonasan says this, Yonasan HaZiel says this. This, of course, reminds us of the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim, on the Asura Haruya Malchus. We, of course, speak about Asura Haruya Malchus also on Tisha B'Av. And there the Paitan tells us about the answer, the kidnapper must die, he said. And therefore the ancestors of their brothers were peddling caravans of Ishmael for shoes. Maybe one of the reasons Rav Goldberg says that we don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. There's something, it wasn't just shoes. It was something about the shoes. Number one, shoes show our ownership over the world. Because generally, of course, shoes are made out of leather. So we actually wear an animal, which normally, wearing an animal we walk with animals on us to show that we're in charge. You can tell us whatever you want, but I'm walking with these gorgeous alligator shoes. God forbid. Right? I'm in charge. They actually, I just saw there's an interview with the guy that owns Uggs. He said to me, you don't have any regret killing so many sheep? The whole thing is sheepskin. And he says, whoa, not one sheep was killed for my shoes. And I'm like, oh, are you lying? Is it not? He goes, no. These are sheep. These are going into landfills. I say, after they killed them for the meat. Okay, you can still tie into it. That's not a good thing, but whatever. So there was more to it. There was more to it, which shoes signify, unfortunately, we don't have time to delve into that aspect of it. So that would be the simple interpretation. Shoes and shoes. That was the time. In the time of Amos, Amos is coming onto the scene telling the Jews what's going wrong here. And they don't want to listen to him. And we see how Sion b'mishpat tipodeh, through actual justice, not just justice, but it's the poor that we don't take care of, that we're in the state that we're in. So the Navi ends. Im yutaka b'shofar b'ir, v'im lo, yuchardu. You're not going to be the Rambam famous interpretation on Rosh Hashanah. And says you're not going to listen to the call of Shofar. Wake up, stop sleeping. Stop dreaming these stupid dreams in your sleep. Wake up. Right? That's the Rambam quote. Im yutaka b'shofar b'ir, v'yuchardu. You're not scared. I'm the Navi. I'm telling you the dream that I have. Wake up. Fine. So, Rav Soloveitchik wasn't happy with this interpretation. He says, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. What is it about the pawning of Begadim? What's going on here? So he says that Parshas Vayeshev, our Parsha, has in it three themes. Bechiras Yosef, the story of Yehuda v'Tamar, and Yosef, going to Egypt. It's released from prison. Tabachim, Sarab Oifim, the whole thing. Right? It's just Potiphar, the whole thing. There's a common thread, a theme between all three of these parshios. What is that? He says, let's think for a moment about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is confronted with opposition. Esav, from our parsha only, he has to run away and then he comes back and Lavan, of course, and Lavan Garti of Mishpat Sheshpati, and of course Shechem, all from last week's parsha, really. Shechem. But that was external. Now Yaakov faces an internal struggle for peace, peace within his home. His own sons are fighting with each other. Joseph's brothers hated him deeply. And they weren't at peace with him. And that's what we call internal conflict. An internal conflict is the theme of our parsha. Internal conflict. What were they so upset about? They were upset about their brother's dreams. It wasn't the Ketanis Pasim. It wasn't that his father treated him. That's not actually what the Pesukim say if you look at it. They didn't. Every father secretly, you all have, I'm sure you know, oh, that for sure, that's the favorite. It's probably not you. That's the favorite child. Everybody knows that. Okay, we make fun of it. Okay, we don't give them Ketanis Pasim, hopefully, but that wasn't the focal point of it. Most parents try to hide this. Yaakov did not try to hide his preference for Yosef. And the Ketanis Pasim, this myriad of colors, shows that he considered him to be one day the leader. If you look at the Svarna over there. Visible proof of that. That hurt him. That same coat would be used and stained with blood as if he was dead. But they hated him even more when he started to reveal these crazy dreams. And that's what it says. We see this from the Psukim, says Rav Salvage. Baal Ketoynes, HaKetoynes Posim, what do they call him? Baal HaChalamos. The dreamer. That's what they called him. They had a slang term that was derogatory. Look, the Baal HaChalamos is coming. The Omer Isha Lachid. Hine Baal HaChalamos, Eluzabah. Look who's coming. Let's kill him. That dreamer. That same person, what does he happens to him? He starts interpreting dreams. By Yiskor Yosef es hachalamot asher chalam lahem by Yomer aleihem magilim oitam liroit ois uruzaras batim. Yosef says, he recalled the dreams that he had about them and says, wait a minute, you must be spies. The dreams, the Baal Chalamos. So sometimes, when somebody has crazy dreams, what do we say to him? This is a stupid person. What are you doing with the dream? Stop it. But often it's the opposite. It's the gifted, bright individuals, the visionaries, who think of crazy things and change the world. Like electric cars, not just for now, didn't go over well over Svat. But, right, Elon Musk, how many people thought he was a nut job? Okay, so you'll make an electric car, Shkoye. Three people will drive it? Right? In America, that's all you see now. They wanted to squash Yosef's dreams because his dreams were that of prophetic vision. They were sparks of Nevius, charismatic personality. The brothers wanted to suppress these things. They couldn't stand the prophecy he was receiving. They wanted to block the visionary power. And that is the obvious connection, says Rav Soloveitchik, through the words of Rabbi David, of our Haftorah Parshas Reaction. Yosef's brothers, the contemporaries of the prophet Amos, like Yosef's brothers, the contemporaries of the prophet Amos, of the Navi, wanted also hurt the prophecy. Prophecy is a dream, of course. And they said, "Vatishaku eta nizirim m'yayin." You made the Nazirs drink wine and command the prophets, saying, "Do not prophesy." Amos says, "A lion roared and did not fear Yireh." Similar to what Yirmiyahu says. And this is the confrontation. Yosef's talking about the survival of Jewish people through dreaming. Azimalos chogpinu. Ushonenu rina when? Hayinu kecholmim. You know when we're going to laugh? Because the dreamers, our dreams are going to come true. And all those people that were laughing at us all these years, they won't be able to. The survival of the Jewish people is through the gift, says Rav Soloveitchik, of Yosef's gift. That gift is the whole holiday of Hanukkah. The miracle of Hanukkah took place about 200 years after we had something called Torah Sheba'al Peh. The motif of Hanukkah, of course, is our fight against Greek culture. One of the biggest fights ever was their immodesty. They would walk around the stadiums, the Colosseums, naked. Ancient Greek culture, the human body, it's beautiful. Nudity is commonplace. They rejected the basic standards, which is the yahadus, is what we stand on is modesty. Yosef's Ashes Potiphar, that's the story that defined him, changed his name from Yosef to Yosef HaTzadik. Because that is the Yetzihara of the generation. And that Rav Soloveitchik ends, and Rav Soloveitchik says, for a Jew to survive in Golos, what do we need to do? We're in Golos. Yosef was the first Jew to experience what Golos meant, what it is to be a slave, what it is to have a paro in charge of us. He had a dual experience of Golos, from poverty to imprisonment, to unimaginable wealth. Excuse me for saying which one is worse. I say the last. Being the richest, the second richest person in the world, is probably the worst klala you could have. Because what do you do with that money? How do you act? And Yosef showed us the way a Jew acts even when he has a tremendous amount of money. He showed the ways of Jews through millennium to endure the long nights of exile. The people in the time of Amos, they were rich people. But they didn't treat the poor people well. They took the wealth of the Yosef wealth. Terrible thing. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik continues. And Rav Aaron says, that's the problem. Dreamers. He says that there are many different types of dreams, and he specifically points to the dreams. How did Yosef, why was he so smart? Was it only Ruach HaKodesh? How did he know how to interpret the dreams of the butler, the baker? So Rav Aaron says, if we analyze dreams, there are three types of classes of dreams. The first is universal aspect of dreaming. Everyone, to some extent, is a dreamer. Dreamer reflects certain fears and desires that are suppressed during a person's waking hours, and we have dreams, and people try to interpret this. Maybe you shouldn't interpret it. Sigmund Freud was famous for this, or Aaron Soloveitchik quotes him. I demonstrate that there is a psychological technique in which it's possible to interpret dreams. An application of this, a psychological structure, the significance of which may be assigned to a specific place of, that a person is able to do. Because generally it reflects things that happened during that day that was suppressed, and at night you have dreams about it. How was Yosef able to interpret the dreams of the Sar Mashkim, Sar Oifim? He knew it was unsuppressed character traits that they all had. The dreams painted a picture of their personalities. Sar Mashkim dreamt of cooperation, harmony, progress, the blossoming of the ripe fruits. The butler was able to, the noble character, he'd been reinstated, v'chulu. Not for now. The baker, of course, on the other hand, birds eating the baskets. The baker's dream brought resentment, concealment, fighter. And then Paro's dreams. But then there's the second level of dreams. I'm unhappy with my status quo. I'm unhappy the way things are in my life. I made a decision. I'm going to be a dreamer. I'm coming to your bet. We fantasize about a better life. However, the second category, nobody does anything about. The first category is to the regular dreams. There's nothing you can do about it. You have thoughts during the day, think, and then you dream about it. But here's where you can make a change. Are you number two or number three? Are you just a dreamer that does nothing about it? You have fantasies just so you could escape the world? Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, these type of dreams are antithetical to the principle of Judaism. According to the Torah, we should never escape reality. Because the Haftarah tells us from this week's parasha, the Rambam says that the major motives of blowing the shofar is, ooh, wake up from your dreams and do something about it. Don't just come on a Elozman and think to myself, no, no. Do something about it. That's the importance of this time. Do something about it. How many Rosh Hashanahs had it go by that we said to ourselves, stop! Do something. Don't just say, I feel bad. I feel ashamed. Stop. Do something about it. But the third dreamer is one, like the second type, is disenchanted with the world. But he says, I'm not just using these dreams to escape reality. That was Yaakov and that was Yosef. Dreamers of the third class. So he goes through, we don't have time, beautiful stories, but a Rav who tells them, guy comes, he says, I need help, and he says, I give you a bracha, the bracha will be through my dream. And he tells a story about Jacob Yanklis, who goes to Krakow as a dream, where he finds, he's poor like you wouldn't believe. And he goes to Prague, and the dream is that under the king's palace is millions of dollars. So he decides to go, and he goes there and he sees all the king's guard are there. But there's no way he can get it. He goes there, says, there's got to be a time that nobody's going to be there. There was no time. Eventually, the guards get curious, and one comes up to him and really start questioning him. This guy's going to get in trouble. And Jacob Yanklis tells him that he had a dream. He says, a dream? Only fools pay attention to dreams, he says. Why each night I dreamt that a man, I dream the same dream. A man that comes
and asks if I'm satisfied with my wife, he tells me to go to Krakow and go underneath the stove of a guy named Jacob Yankelis. This guy, but he doesn't know his name. And I'll find the great treasure. Says the Rebbe, you want to attain great happiness? Go home and look in your own home. Look under your stove. Jacob Yankelis was the dreamer of the second level. He dreamed, but he couldn't move with the dreams. Yosef had dreams that he wanted to come true. The Knoz Pasim, as we said, caused him hatred, but it was his father telling him, you got to believe. That's the difference over here. That's the difference. Progress. Invention, discovery. But it depends what we do with it. The brothers couldn't take the dreamer. Because they knew it was so much like his father. The greatest dream ever was that of Yaakov Avinu. And that makes a lot of sense. We'll conclude, of course, once again with Hanukkah. The battle for Torah observance, God-fearing Jews, which was Hanukkah. There were people who got up and said, we want more. It's impossible. The numbers aren't there. We're going to say this in Al Anisa. Right? Rabban Biyad Matim. How is it possible? But we celebrated the victory because we dreamed on a higher level of existence and we wanted more. And that's why the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Aleph of Shabbos, one of the questions the Rabbanu Shalom will ask is, Sipita li Yeshua? Will you sameach b'chelko? Or do you want a bigger time? I mentioned in this morning's Lessons from the Lev, today commemorates the Jewish day, the Hebrew date of Chavtet B'November. Yud Zayin B'Kislev, the day that the partition plan started a step of Reishis Smichas Gulasena, Schalta D'Geula. In fact, there was a takana today to say Hallel, because it was the start, and then of course we changed it to Heyer, Rav Herzog. Si Pesach Frank was there. Today was the day that the UN declared that we could have a state. If you see the videos of that great vote and people listening to their radios, people were counting. We live in a generation of being dreamers. Don't suppress your dreams. This is one of our mistakes in our lives. So we have dreams and we say, well, my teacher told me I'll never do this. There's no way I can. But you say, it's not the MS. You can do and be anything that you want. But you have to put your mind to it and forget about everybody else. How many times do dreamers tell the stories because I didn't listen, because everybody laughed at me? That's how I became a dreamer. That's what we're looking for in life, Rabbi say. Doesn't matter what other people say. When Herzl, years before, went to the Pope, if you will, for a bracha, which is not surprising coming from Herzl, he was kicked out. Because the foundation of Christianity is that we will not have a home. We cannot be dreamers. They didn't believe in that pasuk. That's what we live upon, saying Medinas Yisrael is that, and you can't. The Pope that came here a number of years ago, sorry man, he went to Herzl and he put flowers. You know what flowers signify? Flowers are the ones that are growing in Eretz Yisrael. As I pointed out, when Mark Twain came here, he said, I've never seen a country like this in my life. There's nothing going on here. Do you know what we've done to this country? The fruits? The fruits, the Shemitah fruits, you know? The Kedusha Shvius. It's a sign, the Rabbanu Shalom sign and saying, the Navi says, I promise you fruits grow in the land. That's the biggest sign. Acher Sayama. We're living in the time of Mashiach. And that's the time of Hanukkah. The darkness. That one light, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Yad Kislev, we have to mention. The one candle lights multitudes. Don't fall into the rut of the Greek culture. Don't fall into the rut of wealth and dreamer. I'm not Samech Bechelko when it comes to Ruchnias. I gotta move on. I need more because I want Binyan Beis HaMikdash with the Bayis Shlishi. She's Zoicha in the time of Hanukkah to light Neiris Bechatzos Kotshecha so that we could see the true lighting of the menorah of the third Beis HaMikdash when the Heir of Yameinu. Amen.